The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Hello, Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase item of the week. Halloween is just around the corner, so visit BubbleGenius.com and pick up their Bath-O-Lantern Pumpkin Shea Butter Soap. So good, you'll want to eat it. Their jack-o'-lantern soap is colored and scented with real pumpkin, with the added punch of clove essential oil to make it pumpkin pie-y. Shea butter makes it extra luxurious. Only $6 at BubbleGenius.com. But if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's BOBANDCHEZ, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Play the game, Hardy.
What are you talking about? I am playing the game.
But play the game.
Leave me alone. I ain't doing anything to you. What bullshit?
Your bullshit.
What about your bullshit?
And play the game.
Listen, you keep your hands off me.
Play the game.
I got enough bullshit out of you, do you hear me?
Play the game.
What the fuck are you picking on me for?
Play the game, Hardy.
Look, I'm trying to ignore you.
Just
play
the game. Play the game.
You keep your hands off me, you son of a bitch. You keep your hands off me.
Play the game.
You hear me?
Look, come on.
I can be pushed just so far, see?
Play the game.
You touch me once more. Just touch me once more. Just once more, huh? Just once more. Just touch me once more.
Play the game, Hardy.
Just touch me once more, you
Jesus. We're having fun because we're number one. And the part that makes us smile is making friends all around the world. Singing up and down the dial.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
I will be so good at the military, your head will spin.
We will have so much winning if I get elected that you may get bored with winning.
You will have so many victories that will be coming out of your ears, you may get tired of them.
It is Thursday, September 17, 2015, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I am Bob Seska, that is Chez Pazienza sitting right over there.
Hey there.
Hi, brought to you by BubbleGenius.com, the best damn soap in the world. Also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. Go and get free legal advice now. Do it now while you're listening to the show. Unless you're in your car, then by all means, don't. But when you get home, go to thebowenlawgroup.com/Bob and Chez. Get all the free legal advice you want from Charles Bowen. He rules the school. He owns the phone. Better call Bowen. So, by the way, thanks to our spectacular affiliates, littlegreenfootballs.com and the great Charles Johnson, also thehuffingtonpost.com. Make sure to visit our Patreon page, patreon.com/Bob and Chez. Also, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Bob and Chez. It's meme-tastic. It's meme-orific. Okay, so what happened? There was something that happened last night.
Oh, gee.
Something in the news, and evidently it lasted for like 9 hours.
Yeah. It was like the Academy Awards, only more boring and more obnoxious and more arrogant.
It was 3 hours of nothing but that clip from One Flew of the Cuckoo's Nest that I just played. Just nothing but mental patients jabbing each other.
Yeah.
And just, like, incoherent freakouts. That was the Republican debate last night. Right now, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, even Joe Biden, some of the other people running for the Democratic nomination, by default, they look really, really grown up right about now.
Oh, they totally do. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, first of all, I just want to go back to the length here for a second. We'll dive into how stupid it was. Why? How on earth did they possibly imagine, this is CNN, that anyone would tune in for 3 full hours of that? I mean, I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh, it's coming up on an hour.
The ratings were tremendous. The ratings were unbelievable.
For all 3 hours?
I think the total was like 22.9 million.
Good
God. It's the most highest rated program CNN has ever put on the air.
So maybe I'm just old school, and I think, man, people aren't going to watch 3 hours of people just, you know, spitting in each other's faces and flinging
poop.
Everybody
loves a clown show.
They love the poop flinging. Lots of poop flinging last night.
Yep.
I mean, about an hour and a half, I'm going, you know what? I'm hungry for dinner. This is almost over. Great. Great. Time to eat dinner. And then it keeps going. I'm like, oh, I guess they're going to go for 2 hours. All right. I get it. 2 hours. And so 2 hours rolls down. Oh, they're clearly not wrapping this up, I'm thinking. Oh, my God. They're going to go for 2.5 hours. 2.5 hours. Really? 2.5 hours. They get to the 2.5 hour mark. They're still going. So they went for a full 3 hours. They went so long, they got to the bottom, the very bottom, the stupidest questions they could possibly ask. Who should be on the $10 bill, and what should your Secret Service code name be?
Yeah.
And by the way, just before those two super stupid questions, what do you think about climate change? So climate change got tossed in with the questions at the very end of the debate. I'm so glad to see that. Good God. So where do we even begin? Just a few observations that I noted on Twitter throughout the proceedings. I had a good time tweeting it until, like, again, like 2.5 hours in, I go, I just don't know.
I went and played drums.
Well, that's the appropriate thing.
I did. I actually went to a music studio and played drums.
And so you actually got to play on an actual drum kit instead.
Oh, yeah.
Because I noticed you had a practice pad on Facebook.
Yeah, I'm getting back into it again.
Finally. So you just wailed away. But I know, because of your commitment to the show, that you had the debate playing on a TV there while you were playing drums.
Well, by the time I left, remember, I'm on the West Coast, same as right, you. So yeah. By the time I left, it was like, I think I missed like the last half hour of it.
So you went and played drums for a few hours and then came back, and there were still like 3 more hours to go in the debate.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, taken with the kids' table that was before that, it was like 5 hours of debate.
Mm-hmm.
5 hours of debate yesterday. And look, I love my job and I love politics. This is what I do for a living. I've always wanted to do this. 3 hour debate among these nimrods was just, I think it was like an hour too long. I could see 2 hours. 3 hours, no. Wrong.
Well, the issue was that in order to get, there's so many people, that in order to get to them,
that's
you've
true.
Got to give like, in order to give them any kind of time whatsoever, you've got to be able to have a lot of time in general.
That's true. And like an hour and a half in, all we had heard from Ted Cruz was, "Hi, I'm Ted Cruz."
Yeah.
And that was it. Nothing else. So, yeah, so I guess there is some wisdom.
I swear to God, I just want to punch his voice.
Really? I mean, Ted Cruz, all of them were looking especially moist last night. They were all so, it must have been 1,000 degrees in the Reagan Presidential Library, in the Air Force One Pavilion, whatever the hell that is. So they were all sweating. But at one point, like Marco Rubio got cotton mouth, he could just suck the spit off of Rand Paul's forehead.
That might have been a practical joke on the part of CNN. Let's just right. keep them up there for so long under these lights that they basically look like they're melting.
I know. And then by that third hour, it was really, honest to God, I complain about the length, but the third hour was the hour in which everything got really weird. That's where it got stupid, in that third hour.
That's where it got stupid?
Well, I mean, it's all relative. I mean, it was especially stupid in comparison to the rest of the stupid.
I spent a good amount of time trying to figure out why Donald Trump looks like he's been wearing like very large sunglasses out in the sun, because like the right. area around his eyes is somehow less orange than the rest of his face.
What is that? It was all so nasty just to see all these ugly sons of bitches on stage, like in super high definition, just right. sweating like Marion Barry, sweating like Nixon. These guys. But, I mean, there was, obviously, substance-wise, the thing that I found most fascinating, just putting into perspective the different questions and the way they were answered. At one point, they all took turns fetishizing fetuses.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
just,
yeah. Oh, they each, every one of them gave a soliloquy.
Oh, the
a Shakespearean-level soliloquy, where they just, where they were practically in tears talking about how much they love fetuses and... Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a beautiful... I mean, Carly's speech alone.
Yeah, Carly Fiorina's speech.
At the end of it, I was like waiting for the Michael Bay music swell to sort of come up behind her.
Carly Fiorina said that in the Planned Parenthood videos, she said that we see a fetus heart beating on a table about to be dismembered, its legs kicking while someone says, "We have to keep it alive to harvest its brain."
Right, while it's screaming, "No, please don't do this to me, please."
But actually, that's not in any of the videos. That's Sarah Cliff, writing for Vox, said either Fiorina hasn't watched the Planned Parenthood videos, or she is knowingly misrepresenting the footage, because that what Fiorina says happens in the Planned Parenthood videos simply does not exist.
Right.
So she just made.
But it doesn't matter. That's the beautiful thing about these is they know they're talking to a Republican audience. They know they're talking to conservatives. They can say whatever the hell they want. because no conservative is going to go outside of the bubble to look for the actual information.
Yeah. Washington Post confirmed Fiorina might have trouble finding this video to show to Clinton. No video to show to Hillary Clinton. No video has surfaced showing the scene Fiorina describes taking place inside a Planned Parenthood facility.
Yeah.
I mean, there might be a video.
It's funny because that's sort of the beauty of Fiorina kind of adopted the Mitt Romney approach to debating, which is that she sounded amazing. Yeah. I mean, she really knocked it out of the park in terms of sounding like she knew what the hell she was talking about.
She sounded authoritative.
Yeah, but the way that she sounded authoritative was by lying her ass off, mm-hmm. was by just everything that she said was utter bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, you can get away with a lot. You can get away with sounding really, really authoritative if you're no longer tethered to the truth.
Exactly, and that's exactly the same thing that Mitt Romney did back when he had that big first debate against Barack Obama and kind of pounded him.
What happened was there was this entire chunk of the debate in which each candidate took turns just describing the fetuses and the abortions and the Planned Parenthood and defunding Planned Parenthood, yada, yada,
Can you please just say that sentence like Bill Cosby?
Defunding the Planned Parenthood, putting the pills
and the
in
fetuses
the people.
And
the fetuses and the filth and the flarn. Then later, like it was maybe 15 minutes later, suddenly they're like, F all the children. F them up the ass. F all, kick them out of this country. I don't care what they're doing. We're going to change the Constitution. We're going to talk to the Supreme Court. We're going to get them the F out of here.
Yeah.
F again, all those kids. Yeah.
It's so much fun to listen to to Donald Trump and the rest of them, especially Trump, roll out that fantasy.
Yeah.
But it would never happen.
No.
Under no circumstances will Donald Trump, even if he were elected president, be able to call out the Gestapo to frog march 11 million people out of the country.
Women, children, pregnant women.
Right. Going door to door to arrest. Are you illegal? Ah.
At one point, Trump was saying, now what are they going to do?
Putting them on a train and sending them away.
We've got a bunch of clips from the debate, some of my favorite clips from the debate coming up here in a second. But one of the things that Trump said with regards to immigration, he was saying that women, pregnant women, will wait till like 9 months. They'll step over the border, birth the baby, ostensibly in a hole in the desert somewhere, I guess, and then go back across the border, leaving the baby with birthright citizenship. This was yanked right out of his orange a-hole. Mm-hmm. Clean out of Trump's orange ale.
Right, the orange a-hole in the middle of his face.
By the way, that might be the title of the show. Trump's orange a-hole. But that's where most of the stuff he said came from. There was this other thing with regards to Planned Parenthood that I loved. And this goes to that, whatever it was, that third hour of the debate where all of the stupid questions happened toward the very end. And I guess it's not a stupid question. It's just kind of a frivolous question because the matter's already been decided, really. They're going to change. They're going to take Alexander Hamilton off the $10 bill and put a woman on there.
Right.
And I'm not sure they know who it's going to be. Solid chance that it's going to be Rosa Parks, but we're not sure yet. I think, personally, they need to change Andrew. I agree with Ted Cruz that they should take Andrew Jackson off the $20 bill. That guy was a sociopath.
Right.
Genocidal maniac. Get him the hell off of there. But the only reason Ted Cruz said it, because Andrew Jackson was a Democrat. Not realizing that Andrew Jackson's Democratic Party at that time more closely aligned with today's Republican Party.
Yeah, they'll never admit that the attitude of the parties and their belief system switched drastically over the past, couple hundred years.
What the Republicans want to do with immigrants now is basically what Andrew Jackson did with the Cherokee and some other tribes out of Georgia in the famous Trail of Tears. And that was just one of many things that Andrew Jackson did.
I love that you're talking to me about this as if I somehow remember, 11th grade world or U.S. history.
He also put a giant block of cheese in the lobby of the White House where everyone could come in and have a piece of cheese.
Was that him?
Yeah, it was the People's House. You could go in anytime you wanted. And you can
Unless
you were black, exactly.
In which case, they'd shoot you at the front door.
If you were black.
With a musket.
If you were black or black woman, or any woman for that matter, you could not go in and have cheese. No cheese for you.
No cheese for you.
No,
there
Andrew.
You go. That's the title of the show.
No Andrew Jackson sociopathic cheese for you. Can you imagine how stinky and covered with flies. That imagine like early 19th century hygiene and food quality and just no climate control, like in the middle of August in Washington, D.C., inside the White House, and there's a giant block of cheese there that's been partially eaten by people.
Yeah, come have some of this.
Including cockroaches and rats. Yummy! Sign me up for some of that Andrew Jackson cheese. But regardless, get him the hell off the $20 bill. I don't know why they decided the $10 bill. I don't know why that happened. Because it's just Alexander Hamilton. By the way, I wonder how many people in the audience last night at the debate thought Alexander Hamilton was a president. Yeah, get President Hamilton. Get him off of there. So they all had to come up with the name of a woman to put on the $10 bill. Of course, the first one was Rand Paul, and he didn't know what the hell to say. Like, I don't know. You're really putting me on the spot to name a woman.
Any woman.
What is woman? I've never met any women. Of course you haven't. So he had to come up with something. So they went down the line.
Ayn Rand.
He was like, yeah, Ayn Rand. I'm surprised he didn't say Ayn Rand. That would have been effing hysterical. Holy shit. That would have been perfect. I mean, they did pick, two of them picked foreigners.
Yeah.
I mean, Jeb Bush said Margaret Thatcher.
Margaret Thatcher, yeah. Still f***ing that Thatcher chicken after all this time.
Boy, if we could use obscenities in the title of the show, I would say f***ing that Thatcher chicken.
Yep.
All right, so there's a moral to this story that I want to get to. There's like the big payoff to the $10 bill chunk of the debate last night. We're going to take a break and come back with that right after this. Hello, it's Bob to tell you about our Patreon page. You might be asking yourself, what the hell is a Patreon page? It's a website where you can help support our podcast by donating money to the show. You can sign up for $1, $5, $10, or $15 per month, or if you're filthy rich, you can sign up for more. In exchange, we'll bring you exclusive Patreon-only content like our post-mortem shows, memberships to the after party, and commercial-free unbleeped versions of our free show. And if we reach our crowdfunding goal, we'll bring you new shows every weekday. That's patreon.com/Bob and Chez, or click the Patreon link at bobseska.com. Let's do this thing.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Oh, yes. Welcome back to the show. Hi. How are you doing? Thanks for joining us today. So, Jeb Bush said he wanted Margaret Thatcher on American Money. That was funny. John Kasich said Mother Teresa. They're just naming women.
Yeah.
Another guy said Elizabeth Hurley. I mean, what the hell? They're just thinking of names of women. Stop naming women.
Very nice reference to Best in Show there.
Right. So Harlan, stop naming nuts. Stop. They're just naming women. So three of them came up with Rosa Parks, right? Just I think it's a great choice, obviously. I mean, Rosa Parks, a civil rights pioneer. You know, inspiration to generations of women, generations of civil rights activists.
The idea that a Republican from this day and age thinks that Rosa Parks should be put on any kind of currency is laughable.
Yeah.
Well, she did so many great things for the black people who we now just don't give a fuck about.
Right. But on top of that, we also had Mike Huckabee, who spent the last few weeks talking about Rosa Parks, comparing Kim Davis to Rosa Parks. And then your friend Brian Fisher from the American Family Association, also praising Rosa Parks. None of these guys, and this is the sort of the Paul Harvey rest of the story part of this chunk of the debate. None of these guys evidently got the memo about Rosa Parks. Turns out, Rosa Parks sat on the board of a little organization called Planned Parenthood. So all these guys wrapping their arms around Ted.
She killed babies herself. She stabbed them.
She did. She stabbed them.
She stabbed them with a knitting needle.
As they cried out for Carly Fiorina to rescue them. Marco Rubio said, in terms of his answer for who should be on the $10 bill, he said,
Gloria Estefan.
The Miami Sound Machine can fit on there, too, on the other side. The Rosa Parks, he said, an everyday American that changed the course of history. Then Ted Cruz said, I very much agree with Marco that it should be Rosa Parks. She was a principled pioneer that helped change this country, helped remedy racial injustice. And that would be an honor that would be entirely appropriate. And then Donald Trump said, well, because she's been sitting for 3 hours, I think my daughter Ivanka, who's right here. Other than that, we'll go with Rosa Parks. I like that.
Wow, Ivanka Trump above Rosa Parks. He wants to f*** his daughter so badly.
He really, really does. Here's Trump talking about Rosa Parks and Ivanka on the $10 bill.
Because she's been sitting for 3 hours, I think my daughter Ivanka, who's right here. Other than that, we'll go with Rosa Parks. I like that.
Governor Bush.
I like the uncomfortable laugh. Let's go with Ivanka. Yeah. And then everyone's like, ah, okay.
Trump got a lot of that last night. Yeah. He got a lot of uncomfortable laughter and uncomfortable applause.
Yeah.
Like sort of, you know, tepid applause.
Right. But here's the story. Rosa Parks sat on the board of Planned Parenthood. That's effing amazing. Unable to find work, Parks and her husband eventually left Montgomery, Alabama. The couple, along with Rosa's mother, moved to Detroit, Michigan. There, Rosa made a new life for herself, working as a secretary and receptionist in U.S. Representative John Conyers' congressional office. She also served on the board of the Planned Parenthood Federation of America. Not only that, but she was awarded the very first Margaret Sanger Award from Planned Parenthood. Margaret Sanger is the founder of Planned Parenthood and is routinely demonized as being a genocidal Nazi who wanted to eliminate all black people, which is totally not true, which is absolutely not even close to being true.
Maybe she hired Rosa Parks because she wanted to experiment on her.
That's right. Margaret Sanger wanted to make the Rosa Parks lamp.
God, I like how I say something mildly horrible and you just up the ante on that shit by like a mile.
What the hell? Roles have been reversed somehow. There's been a sort of the polar caps have been flipped upside down. Okay, so here's what Rosa Parks said upon receiving the Margaret Sanger Award from Planned Parenthood. There's a striking kinship between our movement and Margaret Sanger's early efforts. She, like we, the civil rights movement, saw the horrifying conditions of ghetto life. Like we, she knew that all of society is poisoned by cancerous slums. Like we, she is a direct actionist, a nonviolent resistor. She was willing to accept scorn and abuse until the truth she saw was revealed to the millions. At the turn of the century, she went into the slums and set up a birth control clinic. And for this deed, she went to jail because she was violating an unjust law. Yet the years have justified her actions. She launched a movement which is obeying a higher law to preserve human life under humane conditions. Margaret Sanger had to commit what was then called a crime in order to enrich humanity. And today we honor her courage and vision. For without them, there would have been no beginning. Our sure beginning in this struggle for equality by nonviolent direct action may not have been so resolute without the tradition established by Margaret Sanger and people like her. Negroes have no mere academic nor ordinary interest in family planning. They have a special and urgent concern. Well, there it is.
Cool.
And so congratulations, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Donald Trump. All want Rosa Parks on the $10 bill. And I say, let us stand with Cruz, Rubio, and Trump. In fact, why don't we get them to appear at the ceremony that unveils the new $10 bill with Rosa Parks on it and give us a few remarks about how great Rosa Parks was. I'd really, really like to see that. Okay. So anyway.
They could take the bus.
Yeah, exactly. Something near and dear to your heart. Trump really, really into the anti-vaxxer movement.
Yeah.
Trump's going to be so good at vaccines, your head will implode.
Right.
Your legs will fall off. He'll be so good at vaccines.
Yeah, he's running out of things to, he's running out of superlatives.
Yeah. This, I finally.
Going to be so good at vaccines that you'll come.
You will have so many victories, they'll be coming out of your ears. You may get tired of them.
See, that was close. They'll be coming close out enough. Of your ears. Your ears will be coming victories. That's disgusting.
Wow.
That's hideous. Here's Donald.
Victory ears. Donald Trump victory ears. We should start selling those. We'll make a fortune. Like big, giant foam ears.
Yeah, by the way, I just noticed this for the first time last night watching the debate. Ted Cruz has gigantic ears.
Oh, totally. He is just the goofiest looking piece of crap on earth.
He has like giant like novelty rubber ears.
Yeah, he's a complete. He's there's no way in hell anyone would put him in the White House simply because of the fact that he's just a goofy looking piece of shit.
That's right. He looks. He's got that squishy face that I don't know. Yeah. I mean, he he looks like the guy from the Excedrin commercial. Like he's just always got like a bit of a headache. So here's Donald Trump and Ben Carson talking about vaccines last night.
Should he stop saying the vaccines cause autism?
Well, you know, I've just explained it to him. He can read about it if he wants to. I think he's an intelligent man and will make the correct decision after getting the real facts.
Mr. Trump, as president,
well,
Trump, as president, you would be in charge of the Centers for Disease Control and the National Institutes of Health, both of which say you are wrong. How would you handle this as president?
Autism has become an epidemic. 25 years ago, 35 years ago, you look at the statistics, not even close. It has gotten totally out of control. I am totally in favor of vaccines, but I want smaller doses over a longer period of time. Because you take a baby in, and I've seen it, and I've seen it, and I had my children taken care of over a long period of time.
But by the way, this is just like, you know, you want to know what this is like? This is like that guy in your eighth grade English class who didn't read the book and has to BS his way through an oral report.
That's what, didn't I say that?
Oh, yes, you did say
on
that.
Tuesday? Yeah, that's exactly what it is. He is a good, that's why you always hear him using adjectives. Yeah. It's going to be very, very, very magnificent. And it's very classy, and it's going to be stupendous. And I'm doing very well, and very, 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 very. Yeah, he's bullshitting his way through everything.
Yeah, and
what's most offensive about this is that, well, I mean, most offensive about everything that this man does, because he's talking about becoming president of the United States, and he somehow mistakenly, misguidedly thinks that he's qualified. But he's talking about something that actually involves the health of millions and millions of people.
That's right.
And he knows nothing about anything.
Right.
And I'm so fucking tired of this from conservatives. I'm so tired of this. Well, you know, never mind with all of those scientists say.
Yeah.
You know, it's like James Inhofe when it comes to climate change. You know, fuck all those scientists. Those you know, 98% of the scientists, 98% of the climate researchers in the world say this. How do you respond to that, Mr. Inhofe? Well, you know, Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's what Trump's doing. Well, yeah, exactly. I've seen it for myself. I hate people who use that apocryphal nonsense as if that somehow, as if anecdotal evidence is actual evidence. It's not. Just because you saw something doesn't mean that's what it fucking is.
That's right. I mean, evidently Trump saw a baby getting injected with a bunch of different vaccines all at the same time at some point, and he said, "That's, you know what? That's a lot of vaccines."
Right. It's like, yeah, exactly. It's like it's those people who it, you know, the same thing that you get from the mothers and some fathers, obviously, who get upset about vaccines, and they're just, well, you know what, I know somebody who they injected their child, and the child just, after that, the child was never the same. You know what, I feel genuinely crappy for you.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean it doesn't mean the vaccine's bad. It doesn't mean the vaccines for tons of people are bad.
Yeah, correlation is not causation.
Exactly.
I mean, something
about hearing him go off on this just bugs the piss out of me because he's so ignorant. He knows nothing. No one should ask him any question that involves actual facts. I actually saw that a couple of times last night, and I wish I could think of examples where people asked him something where they're like, look, here are these facts. What's your thought on that? Mm-hmm. And he just, well, you know, I disagree, and I think that because I believe – who gives a shit what you think? Your opinion doesn't matter when faced with facts.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's your nonsensical belief that sits in that middle of that pea brain and that giant orange head of yours versus fact. Inarguable, indisputable fact.
Right. And imagine this guy, through executive order, through however the process works, directing the CDC to make sure that all physicians spread out the vaccines over a Trump timeline.
A guy who knows nothing.
I've worked out this terrific timeline for delivering vaccines. It's a terrific timeline. Did I tell you how terrific it is?
By the way, I've gotten a lot of credit from a lot of people for this timeline.
I've gotten a lot of credit. Talk to a lot of people. Talk to a lot of experts. They're all terrific people. They said, look at that timeline. That is a terrific timeline.
That's a terrific timeline. And by the way, I won the presidency, and since you didn't, well, you know, you're a loser and low energy.
Like what he did with
Rand Paul last night.
Right.
We're right off the bat. Right off the bat. You know, why are you even here?
1%.
And he kept bringing that up over and over.
Right. I have that clip, actually. We'll play that in a second. But yeah, let's hear the rest of Trump's recommendation on vaccines and then take a break.
For a 2 or 3 year period of time, same exact amount. But you take this little beautiful baby and you pump. It looks just like it's meant for a horse, not for a child. And we've had so many instances, people that work for me just the other day.
Here comes the anecdote.
Okay.
Here comes the anecdote, which is proof of something larger. Which is the worst kind of logical fallacy.
By the way, they do not inject babies with syringes that look like they're horse syringes.
No. It just doesn't
happen.
They don't.
No.
No, they don't. There was this baby. It was somebody that I worked for, and she said that the syringe looked like the Empire State Building. It was actually – they took the Empire State Building, and they turned it sort of up on its end, and they injected the child with the spire of the Empire State Building, filled the entire Empire State Building up with all these different chemicals, and who knows what they are. It doesn't matter.
And as president, I will not inject people with the Empire State Building.
Right. And then he just waits for the applause.
Just trust me on this.
2 years old, 2.5 years old, a child, a beautiful child, went to have the vaccine.
Here it comes.
And came back, and a week later got a tremendous fever, got very, very sick, now is autistic.
I'm not laughing at the poor child. I'm just laughing at the stupidity of this guy. And the fact that everyone's going to be like, yeah, he's got a point. Totally. I'm voting for Trump.
And you know what? He just sealed up the vote of the idiot, I got my medical degree from Google search f***ing university block.
Right.
He just sealed up their vote. Every mother in Orange County is going to vote for him.
I only say I'm in favor of vaccines. Do them over a longer period of time, same amount.
Thank you.
Just in little sections.
Dr. Carr.
He's going to deliver the vaccines in little sections.
Little sections. Right, like you said, according, you know, the Trump timeline.
Here's a...
No, you're not a doctor.
No.
Just f***ing once, for God's sake, would somebody please just say, you know what, I don't know a damn thing about this, and I'm going to leave it up to the vast, vast, vast majority of the medical community.
And you know, by the way, Ben Carson had kind of the polite version of what you just said. Here's Ben Carson's reaction.
I think you're going to see a big impact on autism.
Dr. Carson, you just heard his medical take.
He's an okay doctor.
He's an okay doctor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. By the way,
yeah, I mean that's half the problem with somebody who believes that they're right about everything.
Uh-huh.
That's the worst kind of person you want in a position of power, is somebody who believes they're always right.
Yeah.
And that's Trump. Trump is all, you know, what that demonstrates to you is that it's a perfect little encapsulation of a larger problem with Donald Trump, which is that he's never wrong. Mm-hmm. He actually said that last night.
Yeah.
You know, he said when he was talking to Jeb Bush about casino gambling, and Bush shot him down and said, you know what, you want a casino gambling in Florida? I said, no, you know what, if I wanted it, I would have gotten it, because I'm right, you know?
Yeah.
And he said that a couple of times, that kind of thing. Where he's right all the time. And that is the last – somebody with that kind of hubris is the last thing you want in a position of authority anywhere.
Yeah, but don't you know, he's going to have so many victories, your c*** will fall off.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we're going to take a break. Come back with more show right after this.
I'm presidential candidate and eye doctor, Senator Rand Paul. And I'm the host of Celebrity Apprentice and presidential candidate Donald Trump. You know, we're not just passengers aboard the GOP's 2016 clown car. We also want to fix your hair with the Trump and Rand Hair Replacement System. Order today and get the world's finest hair pieces. Our hair replacement systems come in a variety of styles to choose from. The Trump collection includes the fiery forehead merkin, the double bleached anus, and the seven-layer comb-over. It goes forwards, it goes backwards, left to right, right to left. That's razzle-dazzle, baby. And if that's not your bag, how about these styles from the Rand Paul collection? The eraser head, the Harpo Marx, the cockeyed roadkill, or John Galt's pubes. Because you have the liberty to wear pubic hair on your head. What about these popular Trump styles? The high and swirly, the swooping helmet, the golden spaghetti, the banana boat, and the upside down jellyfish. Don't get stung by high prices. For a limited time only, you can also get the following Rand Paul styles for as much as 10% off. The Libertarian Swiggle Patch. The Loopy Bedhead. The Dude Fro. The Inescapable Curls of Humanity. And the Hairnet Full of Monkeys. In fact, I'm wearing the Hairnet Full of Monkeys right now. Everyone's saying our prices are insane. Meatloaf, do you think our prices are insane?
Absolutely.
You know what else is insane? These fantastic Trump styles. The retarded Barney Rubble. The slip and slide. The sopping wet cat. And the backwoods Conan. It's Conan O'Brien's exact hairstyle, but worn backwards and inside out for that signature Trump look. And don't forget the signature Rand Paul look. The misshapen Garfunkel. The awkward show poodle. The 70s porno perm. The corkscrew junkyard. The flip-flop mop top. The tangled extension cords. And try your hand at the mystery grab bag. Reach into my sack and the first hairpiece you grab is free. But look out, I dropped a family of possum in there too, and you won't immediately be able to tell the difference. Only with the Trump and Rand hair replacement system, where you'll get nothing but the best, worst hair pieces in all of America.
The Trump and Rand hair replacement system. Order now by calling 1-800-BAD-PIECE and leave off the last E for, ew, that's a crappy toupee. Order now.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Oh, yes, the second half of the show is brought to you by the BobSesca.com Amazon link. If you shop at Amazon, enter the site using our link just below the logo at BobSesca.com, and we get a small commission from everything you buy. Costs you nothing, helps support the show. Go shopping and do it a lot. Okay, so moving along here. Yeah, but speaking of Rand Paul's hair, was it me or was it like shiny or wet or something? I think at one point I tweeted, it looked like he put Soul Glow in there. He was using some
you know, sort of- I got to give, maybe it's just Stockholm Syndrome from the fact that you're just, after a while, your brain goes numb and your jaw goes slack watching that much stupidity for that long. Mm. Watching so many people saying so many dumb things that whenever Rand Paul opened his mouth, I was shocked at how much I was like, well, there's a relatively reasonable guy.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I may not agree with everything he says, but at least among these clowns, I'm sitting there going, well, you know what? I mean, he makes at least some sense, which is about the best I can ask for out of this freaking group.
Yeah. I mean, that's what was kind of shocking about it. I mean, I know Rand Paul is full of shit, but the fact of the matter is that by comparison to some of the other nincompoopery, he actually seemed reasonable. Like in the whole discussion about marijuana. Like, was it me or did Chris Christie come off as like the high school principal from 1982? Like the high school principal.
I'm going to crack down on it.
Yeah. I mean, he was like Mr. Vernon from The Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
And Rand Paul was like the cool teacher. Like, don't worry about him. Don't worry about him. We'll go in the back room. I'll share some doobs with you. That'll be okay.
That sucks.
Yeah, and then Chris Christie's like, I'm going to overturn everything. I'm going to send everyone in Colorado right to jail. Oh, okay. Okay,
who
Mr. Vernon.
Who are you going after with that? You're so on the wrong side of history. And you're not going to get elected that way. You're just not.
God.
It's like stupid. You know what? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to dig up Nancy Reagan, since, you know, we're here at the Reagan Library. I'm going to dig her up, and she's going to stand right next to me, and we're going to start the Just Say No campaign all over again with her skeleton standing next to me. Wait, is Nancy Reagan even dead?
I think she's still alive, Frank.
Oh, shit. I suck.
I think she's still alive. But I was actually thinking, like, good God, just dig up Reagan and get a room. Because
sad of me. I thought she died. You know what? I'm sorry, Miss Reagan.
But, that was the funny thing about the invocations of Reagan last night. They just kept mentioning Reagan.
Of course they did. Of course they were going to invoke St. Reagan.
Not even realizing that a lot of the things that Reagan did, they were vocally opposing in the context of Barack Obama.
Well, dude, they're spitting out just nonsense. So the idea that they have this sort of revisionist history idea of what Reagan did, that's small potatoes.
Well, yeah.
You know what I really enjoyed about last night? What I really liked was just the entire idea that, like, everything they were talking about seemed to be coming from a fantasy world. Like, we're in the worst place we've ever been, and this country's a mess, and Barack Obama has destroyed this country, and we're not respected around the world, and we're all this crap. And I'm just sitting here going, look, whether or not I'm a fan of Barack Obama, which I happen to be, things are not that bad right now.
Oh, Chez.
They're not. You're insane to say that they are.
Don't you know, though, that Trump said there are bad dudes in the country? Literally, right. he said bad dudes.
First of all, I want to build a wall that works. So important, and it's a big part of it. Second of all, we have a lot of really bad dudes in this country from outside, and I think they...
You know who's happy about that? Like Jezebel third wave feminists who refer to all guys as dudes anyway. He's right. We've got a lot of bad dudes.
Bad dudes. They're bad dudes. They're bad. What can I say? They're bad dudes. Bad dudes. Trump thinks they're a lot of bad dudes. So he's going to declare a war on bad dudes.
I still can't believe I thought Nancy Reagan was dead. She's been dead since like 1986.
Yeah, sure. Well, she's like 108 right now.
Oh.
Bad dudes.
Go. If I get elected, first day, they're gone. Gangs all over the place. Chicago, Baltimore, no matter where you look.
Day first one. First day. Can you just see that for a minute? Can you just see Donald Trump gets inaugurated and then immediately... The military begins going through every city and street in America, knocking on doors and pulling out illegals.
On day one.
On day one. Can you imagine that?
We're going to go around on day one.
That's a dystopic vision that honestly, no YA writer in the world could come up with something like that.
All right. One last break and we'll wrap up the show right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Honestly, you know, the winner of the debate last night, I got to tell you, Dr. Ben Carson. I really think he did, only because he wasn't yelling like all the other guys. Everyone was like, it was just rage. And then Dr. Ben Carson was like, hi, how are you?
I think that in terms of who won from an objective point of view, like who the audience probably liked the most and who I think is going to get the most narrative mileage out of it, Carly Fiorina, hands down.
Yeah, that's what's coming
hands
out.
Hands down.
Yeah, everyone's sort of saying that. And it's good that she did win because that's only going to fuel her momentum in New Hampshire right now. I think she's third place in New Hampshire at this point.
Yeah. No, I think that she did. I mean, again, she bullshit her way through it. Yeah. But I think that she's the one who came out of it looking the best. I think that the person who I thought to me made the most sense was, yeah, Rand Paul.
Rand Paul, believe it or not.
Which again, you know, you're putting him up against a bunch of, you know who else? God damn it, I feel bad for not including this. Again, a guy I totally disagree with, but a guy who seems completely reasonable, John Kasich.
John Kasich, yeah.
Kasich just comes off as very, very reasonable, and he comes off as the kind of guy, and I could be completely wrong about this because I know he's done some really awful things in his state, but he comes off, at least he tries to present himself as a guy who, even if he has a disagreement with you, he kind of takes the, like, Bernie Sanders at Liberty University thing,
yeah,
where even if he has a disagreement with you, there's a way to find common ground.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a shockingly reasonable and smart way to pursue the office of President of the United States.
He's like Sigmund the Sea Monster. He's the friendly sea monster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not he's not the other a-hole sea monsters back in the cave.
I don't think he stands a chance, but I also think he's right when he says that among quite a few other people up there, he's got quite a bit of experience.
Right.
So there's that. Now, please tell me we're at some point going to get to the quote of the night, which has turned into the tweet of the day.
What's that? Which quote is it?
Jeb Bush.
Jeb Bush. Oh, yeah.
Jeb Bush had the quote of the – just the most jaw-dropping, I can't believe you said that without a hint of irony. Just unreal.
Yep. Okay, so here's the
– one thing I know about my brother, he kept us safe. Remember the rubble? That was his exact quote.
Yep.
He literally says, my brother kept us safe. Remember the rubble of that those two giant buildings that happened on my brother's watch?
Here's I think I've got the remember the rubble part. I know I've got the Iraq part. Here's and we're going to lead in with Trump's remarks and then a very important observation, not only about 9/11, but about where the Republican Party is with regards to that war and how they react. Here's the clip from the debate last night.
You've promised us great leaders, and I believe that. But Jeb Bush has laid out 20 different people that have experience around the world. There are 190 countries. You can't run the world by yourself. When are we going to get some names on your military and your foreign policy advisor?
And I'm meeting with people that are terrific people, but I have to say something because it's...
They're magnificent people.
They're great people. I can't name a single one of them, but they're terrific people. Trust me. I'm going to have the most terrific people. Your balls will fall off.
I like how we're coming up with new superlatives here.
New
responses to Trump's awesomeness.
It's about judgment. I am the only person on this dais, the only person that thought
that,
very, very
he
hard.
A dais. Like he's being roasted. I love that.
Right. On the dais.
Yeah.
Not like a stage.
Greg Giraldo is going to come back from the dead, and Greg Giraldo really is dead. And he's going to start roasting Trump.
Are you sure he's dead?
I'm positive. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Against us, and I wasn't a sitting politician, going into Iraq. Because I said going into Iraq, that was in 2003. You can check it out. Check out. I'll give you 25 different stories. In fact, a delegation was sent to my office to see me because I was so vocal about it. I'm a very militaristic person, but you have to know.
I'm a very militaristic person.
I don't
think
he understands the negative connotation of that.
Right, I know. I mean, it's just another form of I'm so good at the military.
I will be so good at the military, your head will spin.
You don't say you're a militaristic person, jag off.
When to use the military. I'm the only person up here that fought against going into Iraq.
Can I make a response to
just
that?
Just excuse me one second,
can
Rand,
I make
you
a
don't
response
mind,
to that?
You know, you are on the list. You do have your 1%. I would
there
like...
It is.
There it is. That's when you attack Rand Paul.
That's one of the many times. That's one of the he attacked him more than once.
Oh yeah, that's right. And he was lying, of course, about being the only person on the dais. Of course, Rand Paul was against the Iraq War.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think it's very important. I think it's important because it's about judgment. It's about judgment. I didn't want to go into Iraq, and I fought it because what I said to you, was you're going to destabilize the Middle East, and that's what happened.
So he's referred to me.
No, the first chance.
May I make a response?
Right after me,
go ahead,
I'll yield the floor. What do you guys say in the Senate when you're talking and debating?
Absolutely, go ahead.
Here's the fact: when Donald Trump talks about judgment, what was his position on who had been the best negotiator to deal with Iran? It wasn't a Republican; it was Hillary Clinton. That's what you believe. I mean, the lack of judgment and the lack of understanding about how the world works is really dangerous in this kind of time that we're saying. So is that the judgment that you bring to the table, that Hillary Clinton is a great negotiator, that she could bring about a better
your
deal
brother and your brother's administration gave us Barack Obama because it was such a disaster those last 3 months that Abraham Lincoln couldn't have been elected.
You know what? As it relates to my brother, there's one thing I know for sure. He kept us safe. I don't know if you remember, Donald. You remember the...
Oh, yeah, this just cuts off right there. Remember the rubble.
Do you remember the rubble? That's what he said. He literally says, my brother kept us safe. Remember the rubble. Remember the pile left of the World Trade Center, which happened when we were attacked on 9/11, which was 8 months into, 9 months, 8 months into my... brother's presidency.
And there are numerous other examples of terrorist attacks that took out Americans following that. whether it was American contractors in Iraq or at 13 different embassies throughout Bush administration.
Absolutely. I agree with that completely. But that just that one thing is so wonderfully delusional. And the best part about it is that Jeb Bush tweeted that out today. He created a meme out of it and he tweeted it out. And it says, if there's one thing I know about my brother, he kept us safe. It's all big white letters or whatever the hell it is. And right next to it is a picture of George W. Bush with the bullhorn standing on what's left of the World Trade Center.
God.
Do you remember? It's almost like, it's like something The Onion came up with.
Yeah. But the thing is,
like, The Onion couldn't have come up with something that satirical.
It was a perfect example of the fact that Jeb Bush has a bunch of former George W. Bush advisors on his staff right now, because they're all the ones who said throughout those 8 years, in convention speeches and elsewhere, George W. Bush kept us safe for 8 years. That was the thing. Dick Cheney and Lynn Cheney still go around to this day saying, we kept America safe.
Right.
Except for all of those terrorist attacks, including the biggest terrorist attack in the history of the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Other than that, we kept them safe. Kept y'all safe. Be grateful to us. We're the safety and security people. Oh, thanks a lot. Good job. I'm surprised no one challenged him on that. I mean, I was kind of expecting Trump to say, oh, yeah, except for 9/11. I'm from New York. I remember 9/11. That was actually Chris Christie's thing.
I know. Chris Christie played the whole, you know.
My wife was almost killed.
Yeah.
Mary Pat was almost
Mary
killed
Pat.
In 9/11.
God, you know what, though? Let's be honest. Mary Pat is the perfect name for a first lady.
I know. Mary Pat Christie. That's right up there. You got to have the three names.
Yep.
Lady Bird but Johnson, yeah. Mary Pat Christie.
But yeah, I mean, seriously. That's these people still, again, still f***ing the 9/11 chicken.
Totally. And they'll still do it. I mean, you think for a second that the 2016 Republican National Convention isn't going to have loads of 9/11 references? It's totally going to have that.
And they're still doing it. We talked about this before. They're going after, I mean, they mentioned Hillary Clinton quite a bit, but they're going after Barack Obama most.
Yeah.
And I find that just shocking.
It really is.
I mean, first of all, I love the idea, again, part of the dreamland that they're living in. It's like, oh, hearing them talk about 9/11, oh, George Bush kept us safe. No, he didn't.
No.
No, he didn't. Meanwhile, Obama killed Osama bin Laden.
They're just saying whatever. I mean, they're just making stuff up. I mean,
because they're talking to people who live in a hermetically sealed bubble.
Yeah.
And in that bubble, this is what the reality is. I mean, Obama is a Manchurian candidate from Kenya by way of, you know, Mecca.
Right.
And he's just destroyed the country and everything sucks and we're in horrible shape. We're in the worst shape this country's ever been. He's just defiled us in front of the world. And meanwhile, George Bush was fantastic.
Yeah, but that's the only
way. Up is down, black is white, through the fucking looking glass.
But that's the only way they can win, by painting the United States as this hellscape. It's midnight in America.
Yeah.
The reality is completely the opposite of that. Economic prosperity, there's jobs. So many jobs, your testicles will explode.
Yeah.
But they can't win like that. They can't win. So it has to be doom and gloom, and that's exactly what they're selling. And Trump's going to fix all of it.
Jesus, what a nightmare.
Or Ben Carson. Honest to God, at this point, I don't know who's going to get the nomination. I get the sense that Trump has peaked.
I think so, too. I think after last night, I'm hoping, anyway, that a lot of people have finally... I mean, this is the thing that I said from the beginning, though. You know, of course, there's a reason to fear the rise of Donald Trump, not just because of it's painful to watch Donald Trump get all this attention, but because his ascendancy says something about the United States. It says something about the Republican Party and the Republican base and the people who believe in him. But I said all along, and I know you and I have talked about this, anything can happen. We are so far away from Election Day.
Yeah. I mean, it's anything's possible. You know what? You know, it'd be effing great if suddenly, like, Lindsey Graham surged.
Yeah.
Like, suddenly Lindsey Graham becomes the front runner.
Absolutely. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Show us.
I mean, it would be just this incredible victory for, I mean, yeah, Lindsey Graham is wrong on just about everything. But the fact is that it would be a great victory for
strength.
Strength. Yeah, totally. Strength and decency.
Strength.
And of course, skeet.
Now I like shooting skeet.
He does have some skeet for us.
Lots of skeet. All right. There'll be so much winning in the Lindsey Graham administration, you'll be shooting skeet.
Now I like shooting skeet.
And then plenty
I like that little whatever that sound is there in the middle of that bite.
Yeah.
Where it's like where it sounds like, you know, like somebody's jizzing. Just, there it goes.
God.
This guy here is shooting skeet right now.
Plenty of skeet shooting.
Yes. Absolutely shooting skeet.
Strength.
By the way, Marco Rubio, after sweating so much last night, Marco Rubio still hydrating. Gotta hydrate after you sweat that much. I mean, you could just see, like, Mike Huckabee's forehead was two different colors he was sweating so much. It was like purple and then flesh tone. All right, the post-mortem show's coming up next. Stand by for action on patreon.com/BobandChess. See you there. Bye.